presenter this morning is Elodia Villasenor. And Elodia received her undergraduate degree from UC Davis with a Bachelor of Science in Biological Sciences and her MPH from San Francisco State University several years later. She believes there is great value in being bilingual and bicultural and has used her ability to negotiate both the English and Spanish languages to bridge communities. Elodia is especially motivated by the strength and knowledge of youth and advocates for increasing visibility and voice for Latino youth while also working towards social justice. And this morning, Elodia will be presenting Training the Next Generation of Latino Public Health Leaders, the ALEO model. Join me in welcoming Elodia.
Thank you so much for being here and joining us this morning. It's a pleasure to speak about training the next generation of Latino public health leaders, the ALEO Empower Latino Youth Model. I have no relationships to disclose. And so in terms of having a little bit of background about the overall project before going into the specifics about the training model, in 2010, a call for proposals was put forth by the Ford Foundation to address the sexual health and rights among youth in the U.S. to transform public policy and public understanding through social science research. We were one of six groups that were funded nationally, and we were in great company. We were actually the only state school that was chosen to partake in this nationwide initiative, but the University of Arizona at Tucson took part, and Harvard and MIT, Michigan at Ann Arbor, the University of Illinois at Chicago, and UC Berkeley were the other five schools that took place in this initiative. They all took part in very unique university community partnerships. We collaborated with California Latinas for Reproductive Justice. They are a very strong reproductive justice organization that advocates throughout the whole entire state of California. So they are a mighty group based in LA, but really traveling throughout the state. And we set off on this journey to really change the conversation that takes place. Oftentimes, both throughout California and nationwide, the conversation around Latino youth, we really wanted to change it and flip it on its head and talk about Latino youth with an asset-based framework and talk about the strengths that Latino youth possess and so much that they are able to provide a voice for their generation, really, and we have a lot to learn from Latino youth. So why is ALEO significant? The majority of California school-aged children are Latino, and it's projected that by 2050, the statewide population is actually going to be visible nationwide. So by 2050, the majority of school-aged children will be Latino. So it really is this new majority of Latino youth that is going to soon become our future, and it's important to acknowledge that they are going to be our leaders in both public health, the workforce, and just in general leading our country. This is a great opportunity for growth that's both warranted and timely. There are three pillars that we looked at. It was really the three pillars that were put forth by the RFP. So there's training, research, and strategic communication. The training piece really was a thread that ran through the entire project. So we really did our best to not silo these three pillars. They were cornerstones to all of the projects. It was not just our project. But again, each group was able to figure out how they wanted to tackle each of these three things. So for us, again, it was very important that training take part throughout all of the pieces. So the research was very much informed by the youth. In some ways, it was a youth participatory action research project where the youth helped to develop the tools they were involved in the piloting of the interview questions, and even though I won't be discussing the research findings particularly, you'll be able to access them through, at the end, there's a website where you can see the multimedia toolkit. And through the research piece, though, El Ayo aimed to increase our understanding about how Latino youth experience and make decisions about sex, parenting, and education in the context of conflicting messages and structural inequalities. The strategic communication piece, I'd like to say this is part of it. It was really taking what we've learned and also not only disseminating the findings, but also because we partnered with California Latinas for Reproductive Justice, a main component of this was also putting forth and using research and science to inform policy. So we really took the findings and transformed them into policy briefs, for example, and went to the Capitol. The training. So although some training was done in the traditional sense, these are some examples of where we brought in experts to discuss topics such as sexuality, health, and Latinos, and the educational equity with Latino youth and such. It really was much more than just a formal and traditional training setting. What we call the bidirectional educational pipeline model was really so much more dynamic than that. It was not a linear process where one group leads to the next. It really was more like a ping pong or a pinball session where there were very meaningful interactions within all of the groups, and there wasn't always a person in the middle transforming all of the information. The youth advisory group, so I'll just go through each session. The youth advisory group was recruited from both high school and undergraduate college students. We had such a breadth of youth in the advisory group that there was a high school student that was in a continuation school. There were high school students that were in more traditional high school settings. The undergrads, they really varied in terms of the topics that they were exploring in their undergraduate degrees. And so that was, I think, a very rich experience for, even without everything else, I think the ability to be able to talk to youth and people, peers, going through different experiences, I think was a very valuable experience. As I said before, the youth advisory group was really involved in all of the steps of the project, from the research and the training and the strategic communication. And the staff, the next block over, began as a staff of one. I was the first person that was hired, and I had my MPH, but the staff that followed were undergraduates and graduate students, and throughout the trajectory of the entire project, everyone, both from the youth advisory group and the staff, sort of advanced. So all of the high school students graduated, all of the undergraduates graduated, all of the graduate students finished their degrees, and then continued, and we'll go through the specifics of that in a little bit. We also had a pre-doc, so we had a person that was sort of in the middle between the staff and the postdoc, so someone that was going through and getting their EDD was part of our staff as well. And then we also had a postdoc advising and being involved in the project, and our PI, Cynthia Gomez, is sitting in the back with us here today. I would like to also just mention quickly that all of these groups were going through the training model. So the training was not specific to just the youth advisory group. This really was a very intentional component of El Ayo, that everyone was undergoing professional development. There were high expectations for everyone involved. I can't tell you how many times, I personally, was given advice up until last night. again, this is an opportunity for professional development for everyone involved in the model, and I think it's a very unique trait and a very special piece of El Ayo. This is the group. So there are a couple things that I want to point out here. This particular picture, this was taken at the very first youth advisory group meeting. So we have a mix of youth advisory staff, or the youth advisory group members and staff. And you can see that there are bright smiles, there's a little bit of apprehension, there's a lot of stories happening in this picture. And in particular, I want to point out two people. On the top right is a young man. His name is Miguel. And Miguel was a staff member. He was an undergrad when he began. And he is now in the School of Social Welfare at Berkeley, getting his master's with an emphasis in health issues. And in the front and center is Vanessa wearing the turquoise. And I especially want to point her out because I really want to honor her and being here in spirit. I think you spoke very well that there's always a team behind. And really, this is Vanessa's presentation. I feel like I hope to do it some justice because she was really the brainchild of this presentation. And the reason that she couldn't be here is because she has decided to pursue her doctoral in education and combining her master's in public health to really look at educational inequities. So again, I feel like this is another example of the educational pipeline model at work, and hopefully we will do her proud in this presentation. So I pointed out Vanessa and Miguel, and they were involved with really leading the youth advisory group. This is one of the examples of products that came out of the youth advisory group. There were ongoing meetings that took place where interactions within the group happened, and also this is an example of an external communication. So as I mentioned earlier, there were 6 grantees throughout the entire country, and 4 of them had youth advisory groups through this youth sexuality initiative. And what ended up happening was, I think, a very unique learning experience where all of the youth advisory groups were able to meet each other. So one of the ways that this happened was through a zine contribution. So this is a product of El Ayo, and you can see that it was a very important piece of El Ayo to bring forth the richness of roots and the history behind where we all came from, and to recognize really that there is strength within ourselves and each other. So the youth advisory group, I said there was this opportunity for dialogue. It's really important, I think, for youth to have the opportunity to see that what they're doing matters, and it's not only grounded in their geographic location, but really it was a nationwide opportunity to be involved in a sort of a higher level of training and a higher level of thinking. People were able to work on different projects and see different projects happening within their own site. And there's very, you know, you can do this in a very low budget way. So the YouTube site is on the top, but I will show you the video. So this is the youth advisory group is all made videos to introduce themselves to each other in order to have a dialogue about what everyone was doing. Let's see. So this is the youth advisory group's introduction. Thank you.
time I see that, I just get all warm and fuzzy. Because everyone was, you know, you see the picture, you see the film, and, you know, this was an example of just a youth advisory group meeting. People came in. There were no expectations. There was really no prior knowledge of what was going to be happening. You can see that there was a lot of shyness with some of the youth advisory group members. People were nervous that they hadn't dressed up, that they weren't wearing makeup, and that they didn't know what to say. And I think really what one of the youth advisory group members said about being united and family really struck a chord with throughout the whole entire project. I think we really tried to create an environment where everyone worked together and created a really safe space where it was okay that, you know, that you were wearing your hoodie and, you know, hadn't done your hair, because that wasn't the point. The point was to be able to explain and have a conversation, to introduce yourself to the other groups, and very similar things ensued. So I'm going to give a little brief snippet of an exchange between the sites. So what ended up happening is that this introduction was sent to all of the different sites, and then we were able to see other sites' videos, and one of them became sort of our email buddy, was in Tucson, Arizona, and one of the youth said, "We're hella down to have a Skype cumbia merengue date, and if possible, can you teach us spoken word?" Because they were really focusing on spoken word as a tool of empowerment. And then they signed off in solidarity. And I think, you know, again, that really speaks to the sense of having community outside of the group, within the group, and being able to sort of be acting in towards a frame of social justice. And again, the training took place through all aspects. The publications is a piece that came out through the strategic communication. But I mentioned Miguel at the top right in that earlier picture, and he is one of the authors in this publication. This was actually everyone that's on that list, except for our PI, who's at the very end, Gomez. This was all of our first publication in a peer-reviewed journal. This was a learning curve for everybody involved. Miguel Alcalá, the second author, is the person that I pointed out. He wrote a reflective piece about his time as an undergrad student and also transitioning into the public health workforce. And Miguel Torres, who's fourth author, wrote a reflective piece about being in a youth advisory group and what that meant to him. So this community literacy journal was a special issue about the Youth Sexuality, Health, and Rights Initiative. Let's see, and the editing process really, it went through everyone's hands. So again, it was a way to really ground everyone in the process of research, training, and publications. And an example of the educational pipeline that we're describing. So again, the strategic communication piece really held onto disseminating the findings also. So this is an example where there are some powerful young women up in that picture. And all the way to the left are actually two high school students. So the person all the way to the left was Luisa. She was finishing up her undergrad degree, and she helped to disseminate the information during this policy briefing. The second person to the left, her name is Monica, and she went to testify. So again, one of the things that we really, really, really wanted to underscore was the fact that we're trying to change the conversation around Latino youth and really speak to the power that Latino youth have. And this is a young woman that had a child when she was 15 and was told that she really was done there. She pushed back on that conversation and she said, "No, I have a lot to give." And right now she's like an incredible woman that's very, very powerful. And so really quick, where are they now? The youth advisory group members, again, high school students, undergrads, they've all moved on. Out of that group, there's one particular young woman that stands out because she decided through the process that she was going to
pursue public health. So she's now at San Francisco State in the health education department. She graduated. Some of them are working or in the university. I mentioned Vanessa Mercado. She's now a doctoral student in pursuing educational equity and the intersection with public health and Latinos. And then there's our postdoc now has a tenure track position at the University of South Carolina. And lastly, I just want to really speak to the fact that there really are structural inequities, and we really need to address them throughout the entire, through all of our programs to make sure that youth know that it's not just them as an individual, but that there are constructs around them and that they really, need to seek opportunities and that there are always people that will help them realize their goals. Gracias. And I'd like to acknowledge Cynthia, our PI in the back, and our community partner, CLRJ, and all of the persons involved, especially the Ford Foundation. This is our contact information. If there are any questions, there's always more information. I also wanted to show that this is actually one of the, this is a hard copy of the multimedia toolkit. So it's all the way at the bottom. If you would like to go online, all of the community briefs and policy briefs can be found there. So again, I didn't really speak to the findings of the research, but they can be found there. And if you'd like to take a look, you're very welcome to do so. Thank you so much.